Hi, and welcome to Know the News. It's time again to let you know what wonderful stories we have coming in our weekend editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. I'm Becca Martin Brown, the entertainment editor for both papers. First, let's introduce you to Shannon Jones, the new executive director for Theater Squared. So on our interview today, we're going to talk with Shan Jones. She is the new executive director at Theater Squared. Looks way too calm to be the new executive director. Shannon, welcome to Know the News.
Hi, Becca. Thanks for having me today.
I'm delighted to have you. I want to know everything about you and everything you want to do at Theater Squared and how you fell in love with theater and all those things.
Awesome. I'm happy to talk about those things with you. What should we start with first?
Well, where did you tell me you grew up?
So I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, which is currently very close to being hit by Hurricane Idalia.
No.
So it's fine. I checked in with my family. They're doing well, and we're used to hurricane land.
yes.
But that is where I'm from originally. Grew up there.
And you were bitten by the acting bug. It's not like you were just bitten by the theater executive director bug.
Yes, I would say it started out more with acting, more with stage management, which is what my degree is in. I've always been an artsy kid. I really wanted to stick with the arts, even though at one point I thought that I would go into the medical field, but I kept getting pulled back into the artistic world, and theater is where I really found my true passion. And so I started there. I got really interested in stage management. I had a mentor when I was in high school who thought I had a lot of potential and natural affinity for stage management and keeping things organized and keeping
people
on track.
For being bossy.
A little bit. It's the youngest child syndrome that I have. But it definitely, she definitely found that moment for me. And she was like, hey, I think you'd be great at this. And she was right. And I haven't really looked back since.
And what you're doing now as executive director of Theater Squared is really stage management on a grand scale.
I like to think of it that way. I think it's a lot of organizational skills. I think it's a lot of people management, connecting all of the pieces around you, and leading with a vision. So I think that's...
How did you wind up at Theater Squared?
So I was working in Alabama, and during that time, one of my coworkers, she had worked with Bob Ford, who's our artistic director, and she had recommended me to him. He had been looking for stage managers to come join Theater Squared. I was not interested at first. I was just like, why would I want to move to Arkansas? What's going on out there? Certainly there's other places I should be. Despite my initial hesitation, Bob and I sat down for a conversation one day, and he, you know, the writer in him really really just sold how great Northwest Arkansas is. And I was like, okay, I have to move to this place and see what this theater is about.
And did we live up to your expectations?
You exceeded my expectations. I had no idea what to expect moving out here. It's got the perfect mix of small town vibes, really tight knit community, but with big city vibes at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's lots to do. There's always things going on, and I think it's just the perfect blend. And the bonus, obviously, is having such a strong support network within the community, and excitement around the arts, excitement around theater, mm-hmm. and so. putting all of those things together, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't I know about this place sooner? But
because
I'm glad
we try
I ended
not to
up
tell
going.
Everybody.
It's true. It's true.
So what year did you come? 2014?
2014, August of 2014. One Man, Two Governors was my first show here.
Do you have wishes to go back on stage, or are you done with that?
Oh, I am done being on stage. You will see me on stage for the curtain speech. But that's about it.
No dreams of going back, huh?
I don't think so. I think we've got an incredible network of professionals that we bring here to Northwest Arkansas and that are in Northwest Arkansas to grace our stage. So I will leave the acting to them.
So how did the conversation start when you knew Martin Miller was leaving? And the conversation started with you about, would you like this job? Was your first reaction to run out into the street, or?
There is definitely a bit of a, I don't want to call it a panic moment, but it was a.
I can see your face and you guys can't. It was a panic moment.
it was a moment of, you know, we knew that we love Martin, and we knew that, you know, the travel back and forth with his family was really challenging. And we knew that we knew we couldn't hang on to him forever. We had a lot of planning in place in case of any type of emergency, if, you know, he had to step away from the role temporarily or things like that. So in my work as general manager, I felt really comfortable knowing that I could handle a lot of the operational aspects of the theater in his absence. And so I tried to lean onto those things a little bit, but also just recognizing what a huge step it is, general manager to executive director, is a much bigger step. So, okay, so yes, there was panic. There was a lot of just exploration around, what does this mean for me personally? What does this mean for the theater? And you know, at the heart of it, I want what's best for Theater Squared. I want to support our organization. I want to support the theater within the community. And I want to make sure that I'm the right person for that job. And so the conversations around it with our board, with other members from our leadership team, over the course of several months, really helped to solidify the things that, you know, that we would have to figure out in determining what does a transition mean, what, you know, assuming that I am the candidate, what do all of these steps mean? What things do we have to work on? What things do we feel really solid on? And there's a lot of conversation around it. And a lot of planning to get to this point.
Did it? What does it do? I know that you are pretty much universally loved at Theater Squared. I've never heard anybody who doesn't love you. And I talk to these people. Does it change that part of your world? Does that elevation in management change your demeanor, change how you interact with them? Because I know you're big on people, the people part of making this business work.
I think there's always a natural shift whenever you change positions, whenever you change roles. I am very adept at that, given the shifting of my roles at Theater Squared over the last 9 years. And there's always a natural shift of how do I now interact with people, knowing that my role is different, and how our positions interact with each other. I I think that in connecting with people, I think the best thing that you can do in any role is just to be authentic and be true to yourself. And there's, I think that maintains the relationship regardless of whatever position you're in. So there are plenty of relationships where, yes, we have to think about things a little bit differently now because we're maybe not at a peer level or supervisory level, but now we're at a different setup and titles. And so yes, those things will change and that's natural and that's expected. But at the heart of everything, I am still me. The people that I work with are still the same people, and maintaining that connection and camaraderie is really core at the heart of Theater Square. Our people are our greatest strength, and maintaining that just human to human connection is how we stay connected and how we stay collaborative as coworkers, as theater artists, and all of those things. So it is, there's a relationship shift, but I hope to think that I'm still pretty much just myself whenever I'm interacting with people.
It seems like a good place to talk about. I know you're really committed to diversity and equality and inclusion. Let's talk about that for a minute and what it means to you and what you hope it means to Theater Squared.
Yeah. So obviously I am a young Black woman now leading.
In case y'all didn't know, she's, yeah.
In case you didn't know, leading an arts organization.
And yay you.
thank you. And so I recognize the position that I'm in and what that type of visibility means to other little girls who might look like me or other people in our community who now see me elevated in this position.
Did I say yay for you? Super cool.
I'm really excited about it. I think, the landscape of theater is ever shifting, is ever changing. And as I considered this position, I actually, looked at the landscape of the American theater and looking at other Black executive directors, Black female executive directors, is very limited. And that is, that's a big thing to think about. It in a way it puts some pressure on you because you're in this very visible, very public position. But I also try to think about when I was younger, when I was just starting out in theater, if I had some of these access points or if I knew people in these positions, what would that have meant to me, and how would that affect me seeing people who look like me in positions like this? And so I think as a theater, as an industry, that type of visibility, that type of connection is really important, because it, in a lot of ways, it just reminds us that anybody can be in any position at any time. And those things are important because that's how we make a collaborative world. That's how we make a really open and engaging process and hear from stories from different backgrounds and lived experiences. And our job as theater makers is to connect, to showcase, however you want to think about it, all types of experiences. And so being able to commit to not just to putting work on stage, but also showcasing it in and around our staff and leadership positions is really important, because it can show people all around that anybody can be in any position at any time, and having that type of diversity and inclusion really makes our team stronger. it gives us a wider berth of experiences and things to celebrate together. And I think that's really important.
Well, theater was kind of the original, because I was a theater kid, obviously. Theater was kind of the original inclusive environment.
I think so.
Because it was the place in high school that you could go and be weird with
yes,
the other weirdos.
Yes, there. Yeah, the stigma around the weird theater kids. It is definitely probably the most inclusive, one of the most inclusive fields that I can think of. You have so many people from different backgrounds, different gender identities, sexual orientations, all of those things. And I think being in theater as a kid growing up exposed me to more people than I ever thought that I would know, if I was just to stay like in my own little bubble. Mm-hmm. And having your own bubble and having your own community is important. But think of how much more we learn as individuals when we open our minds and expand and expose ourselves to different cultures, different communities, and different individuals, and think of how much richer we are when we have the opportunity to engage with those different experiences.
Well, theater is a place where our bubbles kind of mush into each other for a while.
Yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I write for a living. That didn't sound like it just then.
I knew what you meant.
So what are the challenges now? What kind of mud did you step into?
That's a good one. So as we know, since COVID-19, there's certainly been a large shift in the industry. People are not going back to the theater like they used to. I've spoken to a number of patrons who have said, oh, this is my first show back since the pandemic. And there's a return, but it's a slow return. And
that's across the board, Broadway and everywhere.
It's across the board. We are not, we are not isolated in feeling that. And so that is a big challenge, and it's a big question in the industry, it's industry wide of how do we get our audiences to return, and what can we do as theaters to radicalize access to the theater and get people back. We have, we've been so fortunate and excited to, like I mentioned before, bring a wealth of different experiences and put them on stage and share those with our audiences. But there's still a large group of people who haven't been to the theater or haven't returned to the theater, and they're not getting to see those different stories and lived experiences. And I think that's really that's a big challenge, and I think that's something that we've been working on as an organization, connecting with our peer theaters and arts organizations about what that means to return to the theater, and to bolster that, to bolster that type of support again. And I think that is one of our big challenges. I think being able to engage really meaningfully with the community and see how, what is it that we can do to get our audiences back and get people in seats, I think is really important. And it's not just about, it's not just about revenue or things like that, but it's really about changing lives and seeing this wealth of experiences on stage. And that impact, especially in Northwest Arkansas, especially in regional theater, where, you're not on Broadway and it's not this big, the big commercial landscape, I think is really important. And I think that's important for us to keep doing in Northwest Arkansas, in our community, and engaging with our community really meaningfully.
Do you see a difference based on the shows you select? Like, is selecting the right shows the magic ticket, or is it just getting people out of their jammies and in the door?
I think it's probably a mix of both. I think there are some shows where we know this is really going to be exciting for the community, something they haven't seen before, and something that people are going to be really, really engaged with. But that shouldn't take away from the things that they may be, you know, the titles that are less well known or new works that they haven't experienced before. And those shows have just as much value and just as much importance in the art of storytelling. So I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think sometimes it's really great to get like those big, fun, flashy things in, but that should always be in balance with these other shows are just as important. These other stories are just as important to tell. And so I think that does have a little bit to do with it. But some of it is just, we got out of the habit of going to the theater because we couldn't. And, you know, Theater Square during the pandemic, we pivoted, we shifted to being able to stream shows to our, you know, to patrons at home and still provide that type of access. But it's, you know, as we move further away from, you know, the height of the pandemic, it's, you know, people are, you know, streaming at home, their Netflix, their Amazon, all of those things, and and not wanting to return to that live in, you know, in-person experience, which is, there's something magical about going to the theater. And like, I want to reinvigorate that magic because it is transformative, it is life-changing, and that's what we want to reconnect with the community about, for sure.
I was sitting here thinking of the word visceral, because if you see a good show, it resonates in your body like good music.
Yes.
And how you can't get that streaming it.
You can't get that streaming. You can't. It is something that is the visceral is a great word. It's visceral, it's powerful, and it sits with you. I have had some life-changing theater experiences in my life, and I don't know where I would be without those.
You remember the first time you saw Rent? Was Rent pivotal for you?
Rent was very pivotal for me. That's your classic, I was older, but yeah. Theater show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you guys are doing things like really opening the lobby, opening the commons to things like Sunday Night Social. Does it help? It seems to me sometimes if you can get them in the door and it's not scary, then it helps you get them back in the door.
I think so. Yeah, that is definitely a part of our mission. That is core to the commons itself. That's why it was designed that way. Giving that type of access. We have a really great director of community experience, Tara Carversi, and she's done a great job of really activating the commons. And I think we've been trying to explore new ideas, new ways to not only activate our space, but also sometimes, like you said, getting to the door is the scary part. And so like, how can we as an organization meet people where they are? So getting out in the community, going to different events, and just connecting with people, because that's at the heart of Theater Squared, is that human connection. And so so we got some great, you know, we have great events that we've been trying to get a little bit more visibility around. We've been doing some pop-up bars, things like that. The Sunday Night Socials are always a blast, different themes, different fun things that we've got going on there. And so that's a really great access point for people. And I have spoken to people who were here to see a show and they said, oh, I came in, I've been here before, but I just dropped in for a coffee in the Commons. And then I saw, I saw the materials about the shows, and I wanted to see Dial M for Murder, which just got extended.
through the 27th?
Through the 17th.
17th.
Yes. And so we, I've seen people who have had that type of entryway. They're like, oh, I didn't know that this was a theater. I just came in to get this thing. But now that I know that this is here, this is really exciting. How can I come back? And, how can I get involved? And we love that. We love during our educational classes, giving away those scholarships to individuals who, want to be involved, but may have different access barriers. And so we want to give back to the community, and we want to be engaged with the community and find all sorts of ways to get people in the theater.
So what's the best way to follow along with Theater Squared, other than reading the What's Up magazine, of course, pitch there? Is it to go to theater2.org?
Theater2.org is a great hub of information. You can always call our box office or call our main office. And I can say that anyone on our team is always happy to just talk with people. I've had plenty of conversations where somebody's like, hey, I just want to know a little bit about the theater. Can you tell me about it? And I'm happy to talk with people. I know anyone on our staff is as well.
Thank you so much for talking with us. We've been chatting with Shannon Jones, who is the new executive director of Theater Squared. And we're happy to have you on our podcast.
Thank you so much, Becca. I really appreciate it. I hope I get to see all of you at the theater. Stop by the Commons, stop by the Commons for a drink, come see Dial In for Murder, or just come and see if you can get a tour of the space. We do those too. So come to the theater. We're happy to have you.
In other news, the school district in Fort Smith is considering additional safety protocols after responding to two incidents involving weapons since the start of the school year. Monica Brick has that story for you. The Bentonville City Council recently approved spending almost $1 million on a mobile command unit for the police and fire departments. Mike Jones will tell you about that. Arkansas is one of the five worst states at answering its own 988 calls for suicide prevention, yet unfortunately has one of the fastest growing suicide rates of any state. Doug Thompson has that story for you. And Fayetteville is proposing new regulations about where users can ride the wide array of electric bikes and scooters that are available on the market now. There's also a new state law that says where and when you can ride those things. Stacey Ryburn will talk about that. In What's Up, the Fort Smith Symphony starts its 100th anniversary celebration with a new piece of music composed just for the occasion. Bonnie Montgomery was in our studio recently with music editor Monica Hooper. And if you want to be part of a potential world record, join Devin Allman, yes, Greg's son, and Donovan Frankenreiter at the Walton Arts Center September 5th. In Hidden Gems this week, April Wallace has a feature on Arkansas native Sarah Flannery Murphy and her latest release, The Wonder State, which is set in a fictional town called Eternal Springs that bears a striking resemblance to Eureka Springs. And in sports, it's all high school football all the time, except when the Razorbacks play as they do tomorrow. Find it all in our weekend sports sections. All of this and more is available to our subscribers on our tablet and smartphone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. To those of you who are already our subscribers, thank you for your support of local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, I hope you'll consider becoming one. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. You can also click on the subscribe button on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or call us at 479-684-5509. Just be sure to say that you're a podcast listener. Know the News is a weekly podcast brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Becca Martin Brown, your podcast host this week. Have a great weekend, and until next Friday, so long.